Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And y'all know what I'm going to say. It is a great word. It is a word this morning. We are coming out of the book of Isaiah. We started on yesterday, and we will be here in the book of Isaiah for the rest of the month. And again, we are excited. We are going to be in Isaiah chapter 3 and 4 this morning. Isaiah 3 and 4 this morning on this sixth day of September. It's a little bit cloudy where I am, but 72, so it's my perfect temperature. Praising God. Our psalm for this morning is the 105th psalm, verses 7 through 22. Our proverb this morning is the 24th proverb, verses 26 through 27. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 33. So let's get started this morning. We're going to start today in our prayer book, our 365 Days of Prayer for Life. Just put on my heart to do this now. And then we're going to pray in, and then we're going to get started. Open door policy is what it says. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. But thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Good Father, you are the epitome of what it means to be hospitable. You welcome friend and foe alike with open arms and a table set with the finest food. As you receive everyone with warmth and kindness, may I too. It is easy with friends and family, but to be warm and generous with strangers is not as natural. Fill me with a heart of love, compassion that goes beyond conventional kindness, to reveal your benevolent heart. You offer everyone a place at the table. There is no one who isn't welcome. Your home remains an open invitation. As I freely come and go with confidence, may I take generosity with me. Thank you for your open door policy. There are no time restraints or off hours where I'm not allowed to show up. As a dearly beloved child, I know I am always welcome. Thank you that I am not a stranger in your house. As I have been loved, may I love others. And this is the question as we start our show this morning. When was the last time you felt like a stranger? Wow. That's a good question. When was the last time you felt like a stranger? All we can say is, thank you, our Father God, that he always, always makes us feel welcome. Welcome in his house. Welcome in his heart. Welcome in his presence. And our word for this morning is, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. Heavenly Father God, we come to you, Lord, asking you to lead us in guide, that we do not fall into bad company, that we walk with righteousness, that your light shines on us everywhere we go, that when people see us, they see your light in us, that they see the joy that we have in you, God. Father God, I ask you to guide and lead this message, God. Increase as I decrease, Father God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my friend. For I am a friend of God. As David was a friend, as Abraham was a friend, as Jacob was a friend, I'm a friend, God. And I'm grateful to be called your friend. I'm grateful to be called your daughter. And I lift up this word again, God, thanking you for another day that you didn't have to give us, but you did. So, Father God, I ask your blessings over each and every person listening in this morning, those that listen live and those that listen later. Lord God, I ask you to guide and lead them and watch over them. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing and trusting in you, God, that all things are working for good. Why? Because we trust in you. Thank you, Lord God. As we move forward, let this word permeate a heart, permeate a mind, permeate a spirit. So good morning again, everyone. This is Blog Talk Radio. This is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. This is Bible study. And what our assignment is, and my assignment is to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. Many of you have already done it. This is about my, I don't know, fourth, fifth time reading it from different Bibles. Started off with a Saturday night talk show called New Beginnings. And moved into a morning talk show, and then I started working, and we evolved into a Bible study with the Word of God. We always have had Bible study, but now it's more of a blog where I will be reading this morning. And again, I'm always looking for those that love to read the Word of God and would like to read. Mother Valerie will be back this month sometime, who is my other reader, and I am grateful for her. So please keep her in your prayers. Thank you for your prayers for Sister Carolyn as she has been traveling. And we are just thankful this morning. I always give God thanks. You know, I wake up every day, and as I come on this show, I tell you, as I tell God, I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am blessed to be here another day. So let's get in our word. Get your Bible, because this is Bible study. I am coming out of New King James, and I come out of New King James for a purpose and a reason, mainly because God told me to come out of New King James. But secondly, it's easier to understand than King James. Same word, different way of saying it. So it doesn't have the vowels and the them's and the with this and YS and all of those. It just keeps it plain and simple. So it says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts." For those just joining me, I am starting in Isaiah chapter 3, and that was the verse 1. Take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan, and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and they will rule over them. The people will be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child will be in the base toward the honorable. And if we look at this verse, it's like, oh my, a lot of this is right now. It says, and when a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these ruins be under your power. In that day he will protect, saying, I cannot cure your ills, but in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem stumbled and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. To provoke the eyes of his glory, the look on their countenance witnesses against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, as women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes, for you have eaten up the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, says the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scrap the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover the secret part. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, and the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms, and the rings, the nose jewels, the mantle, the outer garments, the purses, and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans, and the robes. And so it shall be. Instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth. And branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit on the ground. And if you go back to a life lesson from Dr. Charles Stanley, and I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. So when you hear me say life lessons, answers to life's questions, what the Bible says, those are commentary from Dr. Stanley. In Isaiah 3 and 8, Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Sin is an affront to the glory of God, an insult to his goodness and righteousness. It is especially serious when a believer sins, for God has connected his holy name with that believer whose conduct reflects on God's character. It bothers God when we up in the choir stand on Sunday, but Saturday night we was in the club dropping it like it's hot. We was doo-wopping and we was this and that and we was all up in it. You know, come on now, all the ladies in the club, let me see you dance. You know, we was wobbling back. We was dropping it, you know, and we don't wobble, baby, and we was doing that. But then we going to bring it up into the choir, bringing the world into the house of God. And if you ever see things, watch, just watch as well as pray. We cannot make God angry. Bringing all the steps from the club into the church, watching the praise dancers, and oh, they dancing well. Because they dance in the same dances that they do in the street. We got to be very careful that we give to God what is God. In Isaiah 3:10, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. God always rewards faithful and obedient behavior. Although God would judge Judah for her sins, he wanted to encourage the few righteous believers who remained to continue living for him, but he would remember their good deeds. Isaiah is prophesying this morning, 4 of the book of Isaiah. And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, he will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. I'm going to read that again. And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem when the Lord has washed away of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above our assembly, a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of the flaming fire by night. For over all the glory, there will be a covering and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the day, time from the heat for its place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain. And as we go into the life lesson for Isaiah 4:2, in that day that branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. Isaiah is the first prophet to call the coming Messiah by the name branch. He sees a time when Jesus will reign in glory and bring prosperity and joy to the whole world. And when we go, in my other Bible, there's a scripture you want to share. To Isaiah chapter 11, which we will also be reading, but go to Isaiah 11. And I'm coming out of the NIV. Isaiah 11. In Isaiah 11, verse 1, it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. And again, if you go back to verse 2, in that day the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing. Okay? That's verse 11. Then when we go over to Jeremiah, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 23. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 5. And it's one of my highlightables. And it says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will rise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And we know that is Jesus. And also we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 33. And in chapter 23, we're going to go to verse 15. And it says in verse 15, in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. Again, Jesus was foretold in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, and many others of the prophets of old. Jesus was told because the word was always there. And God brought him back, spiritual being that he is and that he was. But it's a man to know to take all mankind's sins upon the cross. What a mighty Savior. What a mighty branch of God, a mighty branch of David, to come as a man and take our sins. You know, and I love the cover of my Bible. My one Bible is this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11 and 6. We want to please God in everything we do. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to hang out with bad company. We don't want to be corrupted with lies and deceit. We want to know who God is, who we are to him. We are his sons. We are his daughters. We are the bread of his mind. And let's keep going. We are in the 105th Psalm, verses 7 through 22. Give you a minute to get there. 105th Psalm, verses 7 through 22. And it says, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute. To Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When they were few in number, indeed very few, strangers in it. The strangers in it. Excuse me. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. So when you hear that verse, because I know it's a verse that we hear all the time, know that it is the 105th Psalm, verse 15. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with feathers. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure. Never think that God is not with you. When you're looking at the mountain that you've got to get through, you've got to go over that mountain of mail, that mountain of clothes, that mountain of bills, that mountain of the children not wanting to act right, that mountain of your in-laws treating you horribly, that mountain of deceitful co-workers. Understand, there is no mountain that you can't get over. Because with faith, you can move those mountains out of your way. With faith, you can accomplish anything you want to accomplish. You've got to trust God. You've got to know that he is not going to let anybody mess with you because he's already placed it in his word in the 105th Psalm, verse 15. Do not touch my anointed one and do my prophets no harm. You are anointed ones of God when you believe in him, when you are grafted in to the branch of Jesus Christ, when you are saved, set free, and in your life as your Lord and Savior. That you are covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet with the blood of Jesus. His blood runs through your veins. You have his DNA. You are divine and naturally anointed because you are a child of God. Proverbs 24:26-27, he who gives a right answer kisses the lips. Prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field and afterwards build your house. It's time to go to work. Your house won't build itself. We are building, not made by hands. We were made by God. And this temple, this body that he has given us, we got to function within the larger body to make it whole. Don't let anybody run you away from your church. If God sent you there, you stay and watch God work. But if God says it's time to go, then you got to go. Don't try to hang where he has told you to leave, because you never know he has something better for you. Trust God. And we'll be reading this morning verses 1 through 33. And it says, moreover, brothers, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you. And this is Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, who was out of order. They were dealing in incest. They were dealing in all kinds of stuff. Lying, cheating, you know, putting folks on pedestals. They were something else. And Paul has come to get them back on track. God comes and he sends a prophet. He sends a teacher. He sends a preacher to get churches back on track. And we have to be open and ready and willing to listen to the voice of God. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the twelve. After that, now I just have to put a pin there just for a minute. Jesus was seen first by Mary Magdalene. And they just kind of whitewashed Mary out of the word. It's Cephas, you know, it's Peter. And it's like, wait a minute. Where's Mary in this? She was the first one to see Jesus. She was the one that went and told Peter and John that Jesus had risen and that he would see them in Galilee. It was Mary, but nobody wants to put Mary. Mary kind of got put out. She got whitewashed out of the Bible. Woman that had an issue of seven demons that was saved by Jesus directly and became a disciple. But we understand the 12. But Mary was also there. Mary financed. Mary gave money. Mary was paying them tithes way before tithes was asked for. But she kind of got pushed out. You know, women ministry is my second passion after children. And I tell you, it just irks my soul when I see where a woman should have been put somewhere and she's just totally not in. And so Paul goes and says that he was seen by Stephen, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. But some have fallen asleep, meaning they have died. After that, he was seen by James, and that's his brother. Then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. He's letting you know, I didn't see him in life. I didn't follow him in life. I was one of them folks that thought he was some little upstart trying to start some stuff, messing around in the synagogue, coming in there preaching and telling us that we was a den of thieves and that his father's house should be a house of prayer. Who was he to tell us what to do? We know the laws and the prophets. We know this stuff. I'm a Pharisee. I know all. But then he found out on that road to Damascus that he was trying to kill them upstarts, that he wasn't in charge of anything, that it was God, that Jesus said, let me ask you a question. Why? Why, Paul? And he's like, well, who is this? He said, it's Jesus. And we got to have a conversation. Jesus would come and have a conversation with you when you're not doing right. The Lord wants us to do right, to be whole, and to follow after him, to be those anointed ones, to be the prophet, to be his do not touch. He wants us to know we are in the covenant of God. But then Paul says, well, I am the least of the apostles. Who am not worthy to be called an apostle? Because I persecuted the church of God. But by the am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He's like, I might not have been with Jesus, but now I work harder than all the ones that were with him. You know, Paul kind of did a lot. Paul was a little uppity in certain things. As you read his words, you're like, you are kind of uppity there, bud. But then he loved God. And that was why he was who he was. He had this thirst. He was just as zealous for Jesus. He got giddy for Jesus, too. That he didn't mind if he stepped on a few toes because he wanted the word to go forth in excellence. He didn't care if anybody advertised him or said, watch this or listen to that. That was not what he was about. He was about doing the will of God. And that is what we have to be about, doing the will of God. And he says, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise, or if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sin. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. He's like, don't come to me with that. Because then you're just saying that your faith is in vain. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. We know that he is the Christ. We know that he sits on the right hand of in heaven, watching over us, hearing our prayers, covering us with his blood, giving us his DNA. We know who he is because we believe. But if you do not have faith to believe in the resurrection, you do not have faith to believe that Jesus died for you. You do not have faith to know that he rested for 3 days and rose from the dead. That Jesus was buried, and somebody said, oh, no, he wasn't. Yes, he was. He may not have been buried in the ground as we know it, but their burial was a tomb. Buried is buried. He was buried in a tomb, and he rose from the dead. And let's call it, the word of God says, and he took the keys from hell to the kingdom. In other words, no, you're not welcome up here anymore, slimy snake. Took them keys. Said, not to get, not anymore. And as we go, it says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. We know with Adam came death, but we know with Jesus came life. And as it goes into the word in chapter 15, verse 22 of 1 Corinthians, it says, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. First sin, Adam, sin of disobedience. That was, and then after disobedience came murder. God wants us to be obedient. Jesus, he came and took death away that we may have eternal life. He came and took our sins away that we may be grafted into the plant, that we may be a part of his church, that we may have his DNA. And it goes on the toes, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming. At his coming, we want to live right, that when them trumpets sound, we are ready to go. Our spiritual bags are packed. We have done what we were supposed to. We have run the race. We have done what we have been called to do. And we are anointed. We are appointed. We are covered. And we want to be in that position at his coming. Because then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. But he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son of himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And as we go back into our life lessons from chapter 15, in verse 10 it says, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul said, let me clarify. It wasn't me. it wasn't me that labored among you. You know, I have issues sometimes with Paul, but I respect him as an apostle. I respect him as a creator of churches. I respect him as going to die for the word. I respect him for not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. And he said, anything worthwhile that we accomplish for God is done through the guidance and empowerment of his Holy Spirit. His grace prompts us to get busy, not to get lazy. I do not get up 7 a.m., really 6 in the morning, to do this blog on my own. Because I will tell you up front, this sister would be knocked out otherwise. There are times where I'm like, whoa, God, I got to get up. I would be sleeping good, and I feel the shake, that touch on the shoulder. Well, it's time to get up. It's time to go to work. It's time to move forward. And I would wake up like, oh, my God, what time is it? And God would say, you good? It's time to get up, though. And I'd get up because my bed would be feeling good. So if I was in the flesh, I would be asleep. Just now, getting up to get ready for work. But God, by his grace, he wakes me up with joy in my heart to go to work for him, because he is the one that's in charge. He's the one that speaks to me. I don't do this on my own because I can't. His grace, as Dr. Stanley so eloquently put it, prompts me to get busy and not get lazy. Oh, I'll do a show tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to turn back over. I'll do shows. And before long, you don't do anything. That tomorrow put off will have you covered in stuff. Speaking to the choir. 1 Corinthians 15 and 17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And when I see that word futile, I always think of the Borg on Star Trek. And I'm sure folks are like, what in the world is she talking about? I am a sci-fi fan. Yes, I am watching Star Wars Ahsoka. Yes, I am. Because I feel like it is good versus evil. And I know that in the end, good's going to win. And yes, I am a Star Trek fan. I have seen them all. Brand New World, I'm watching it. Different, whatever it is. You know, Discovery, I am a Discovery fan. The last season comes in next year. Yes, but every time I see the word future, I always think of the boys who are like a plague that comes in and they tell you resistance is futile. Resistance is futile. And then it tells us in this word, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You have resisted Jesus. You are still in your sin. You are part of the Borg. You did not resist sin. And we need to resist sin. We need to resist assimilation. We cannot be like everybody else. The word tells us, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits, because you didn't resist sin. As it said, resistance is futile. You got caught up. And it says the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is essential to the truth and power of the gospel. There is no Christianity without his resurrection. We've got to believe. Then we don't have to fall into the sins of this world. James, a changed man. And it tells us this. At the beginning, James refused to believe in either the ministry or the deity of Jesus, his brother. James' disbelief remained steadfast throughout Jesus' earthly life. Only after the resurrection did James finally realize the truth. In 1 Corinthians 15, 5-8, Paul lists those to whom the risen Christ appeared. There, along with the disciples, James is singled out. Soon after the resurrection, James and his brothers joined the disciples in devoting themselves to prayer as they awaited the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we talk in Pentecost. James, not Peter, or one of the other disciples, led the Jerusalem church through its early days. The missionaries who informed this church, of their activities reported to James, its leader. James proves that even when you feel the most comfortable with the Lord, even when you believe you have him figured out, he can still surprise you and change your world. And if you need scripture, Mark chapter 3, verse 32 through 35, John chapter 7, verse 5 to 1, verse 14, Acts chapter 15, verses 12 through 21, which we read earlier this year, chapter 21, verse 18 of the books of Acts talks about James. And as we go to the rest of our word this morning, it says, otherwise, what will they do to who are baptized for the dead? If the dead do not rise at all, when then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Think about today. Something to think about today. And he tells us, and I'm going to go on to verse 34. It says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We as men and women of God, with knowledge of God, have got to get out there and evangelize. We've got to get out there and tell people about Jesus. There are so many that are in sin because nobody said anything to them about God. They were not given what we've been given. I am so thankful for my upbringing, thankful for Birch Chapel AME Church. I'm thankful for the Paducah Salvation Army Corps. I am thankful for the Kentucky Tennessee Salvation Army majors and captains that poured into my life. I'm thankful for the willing workers and the Addie Lucas Missionary Society that guided and led me growing up. And as it says, train up a child in the way it should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. All those women poured into me. All those men of God poured into me his love, his grace, his mercy, his word. That's why God has given me the assignment of children, to pour into them as it was poured into me. We got to give God thanks. We've got to let him know how much we love him, how much he means to us. Are we trusting God today, or are we falling into bad company? Don't get caught up in the hype of what's going on in this world right now. So many corruptible things where lies have become truth or alternative fact. A lie is a lie is a lie. Do not be deceived. God is telling us in His Word. Don't be deceived by the wiles of entertainers. We get caught up in reality shows. The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, American Idol, America's Got Talent. We go from one extreme to another, the ninjas and the warriors and the what is the other one? All this peekaboo nonsense. Love Island, the housewives of every place. We got to get caught up in Jesus, that we do not allow that sneaky, slimy snake to slither into our conscience, that we forget about God. So just thinking about it, keep it in your heart, keep it in your mind, keep trusting in Him, and know that He loves you more than anything, more than words could ever say. God is good. And as we go into our words from Sister Geraldine this morning, I again thank all of you for joining me today. Ask God to watch over you and guide you and lead you. Keep you from the company of evil. Give you clarity that you see past the senses. And as we go into the word from Sister Geraldine this morning, good morning. God blesses our days as we live our lives for Him. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. And again, God blesses our days as we live our lives for Him. Live for Jesus and watch Him work in your life. Have a blessed day, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day with God, knowing that He loves you more than anything. You are special. You are a child of God, and He wants the best for you. The best is yet to come. All we have to do is believe. Thank you again. Be blessed. If there's anyone that has a word from the Lord, we have about 5 minutes. If not, it's a wrap because I got to go to work. I have to pay the bill. Love you all so much. Please join me tomorrow morning as we will be continuing in Isaiah. If you would like to read ahead, we will be in Isaiah chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 13. We will be in the 105th Psalm, verses 23 through 36. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 24, starting at verse 28 through 29. And we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 35. And so if you'd like to read ahead, and so you'll be ready in the morning, those are the scriptures we will be in on tomorrow. And I can tell you, as I look at my Bible, we are probably have about less than a fourth to go of the Word of God. We have been on a mission. And as I look at my Bible and think, wow, God, we have read all that. We've read all that. Yes, we have. We've had a lot of words. So I thank God for you. I thank God for His Word. I thank God 100% for my DNA, which comes through His Son and my love of my life, Savior, my friend, my everything, Jesus Christ. Keep Him first in your life. Watch and work. Have a blessed day, family. It's officially a wrap.